things that are uncomfortable. And something that Dave actually talked about at Impact was do what scares you. And this really stuck out to me. Because fear is not from God. And in my life, the things that I've done that scared me have been the things that, you know, made me grow. Like Impact, for example, in ninth grade, I was actually so terrified to do Impact. But I did it, and it's so rewarding, and it's one of the things that I love the most now. But this doesn't have to be like some big event that you go do with your church. It can just be everyday things, sharing the gospel. And then again, this summer, I decided to go work at Tejas, and this was terrifying. I didn't want to do it really, but I felt called to do it. So I was super anxious, super scared, but I let it go and I let God handle it, and it's amazing. It's one of the best experiences I've ever had. And a piece of advice I wish somebody had told me as a freshman is that it's really not that serious, and don't compare yourself to others, because comparison is the thief of joy. God gave you specific gifts. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, so don't compare those to others. Just use your abilities that God gave you and trust in Him. And that's pretty much all I have.
I'm Liam. I'm graduating from Belton High School. What's up, Josiah? Shout out Luke Sindel. Yeah, thanks, bro. I would say a passage that stuck out to me a lot is Psalm 139. Specifically verse 5, well, there's many verses, but like verse 5, first off, it says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." And actually at the men's conference last year, this was a major verse that the guy who spoke went through, or this passage. And when he explained this verse, it was pretty much like God has his hand. He has his hand into what you're going to do, what you already have done, and what you're doing currently. And I think, one, that's pretty cool because none of us have three hands, but God kind of does. I don't even know, man. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then I think the whole passage kind of speaks to just like God's power and his knowledge. So in verse 7, he says, the psalmist says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." So no matter like what we're doing, where we're going, what we're up to, like God knows, and he's like with us in that. And I think that's pretty cool. And then I'd say the last part of this passage is, well, not the last part, but whatever. In 17, it says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you." So these thoughts that this psalmist is counting of like God's, right? Like it's more than the sand, enough that like while they're counting, like he falls asleep. And when he wakes up, he's still counting. I think that's pretty cool because like he's there's so many like thoughts that the Lord has, I guess, like he's just, I don't know, infinite knowledge, right? And we can't even like fathom to think about all that, you know? And and then I'd say my piece of advice, it doesn't go with this passage at all. I didn't realize they were supposed to like go together, my bad. But I would say make your faith your own. What I would warn against is living it through other people or living it through the youth group, living it through any church in general, actually. Just like I'm not in charge of y'all, you don't have to, but like for me, like for my spiritual walk, what was really important is like actually going and like seeking the knowledge instead of just like taking what I hear on Sunday as like the truth. Not that Dave is wrong, but I'm saying like no matter what you hear, you should go and search for your own answers and your own knowledge on certain topics, because you can't live your faith through your parents, you can't live your faith through your friends, you can't live it through the group and like the leaders of that group, really anything. So yeah, just make your faith your own type shenanigans.
What's up, y'all? I'm Will. I graduated from CTCS, and I was going to try to memorize all of this, but I didn't really want to do that after Impact. So I went ahead and typed it out so that way I wouldn't yap and rant. But a passage that helped me out this year was 1 Kings 19. And I'm not going to read like all of it because it's a bunch of verses. But long story short, Elijah's running away from Jezebel because she's like trying to hunt him down. And Elijah stops running and starts freaking out and starts saying stuff to God like, I'm no better than my ancestors, so you should just strike me down and kill me. And Elijah falls asleep, and when he wakes up, an angel brings him food from heaven. And like, first of all, that's like super real, because sometimes all you need is just like a nap and a snack. But like, the biggest takeaway from this chapter is that the Lord knows what our soul needs, and it's super important that we take rest and comfort in him. So Elijah wakes up and starts freaking out again. Same thing happens, repeats the same thing. He falls asleep and gets more of the heaven snacks. And this time the angel says that the journey is too great for him to do it alone. So Elijah eats the heaven bread and then runs for 40 days and like 40 nights straight. So eventually he comes to a cave, and God finds him and asks him why he's hiding. And Elijah starts freaking out again, saying that he's the only prophet left alive and that he's going to get hunted out and killed by Jezebel. And God tells him to go outside, and his presence is going to pass by him. So 1 Kings 19:12 says, "Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After an earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper, and the Lord spoke to him." So this passage has really helped me out this year, past year, because I relate to a lot to Elijah. I've struggled with depression and anxiety for most of my life, and this came back full force this school year. But when I'm at a place where I feel like I can't bear to go on much longer, I can see God's presence in the whispers of the world, and it just seems to bring so much peace and comfort. And it's really easy to say that we don't hear God speaking to us because we don't see these burning bushes or God speaking to us through like a dream or something like that. But it's super important to look for the whispers in the wind and hear God in the everyday things. And it all really just comes down to if you're willing to listen. So now the advice is that y'all are gonna hear that high school goes by so fast, like a million times, and it really does. But some of the best moments of high school have been spent with close friends who lead me closer to God. And my advice is not get caught up in like drama and all these like little disputes that in the long run don't really mean anything. And Matthew 18:15 outlines how to handle conflict biblically. And the first step is to go to that person who has sinned against you one-on-one. If it's not resolved, go to a person with another brother or sister in Christ. And if it's still not resolved, go with the church body. And it's so easy to want to go and tell everyone about what has been wronged and how you've been hurt. But then gossip just leads to more conflict. So if telling a person about conflict does not help a situation get resolved, it's gossip and not confiding in a friend. And high school is short, so don't let it all get ruined by friendships and conflicts and stuff like that. When two people are followers of Christ, there's always a chance for God to redeem a broken relationship. God redeemed Jacob and Esau's relationship, as well as Joseph and his brothers. Romans 12:8 says to live at peace with everyone if possible. Even when it seems all lost between two people, God can redeem it. And biblical community is so important, and it shouldn't be torn apart by divisions inside of the church. We're all human, and we will sin against each other. And what happens next is it is now becomes our responsibility to do the next right thing and try our best to repair the brokenness that we are responsible for creating. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey guys. Oh, that's really loud. Sorry. Hey guys, I'm Avery Cabanis. I just graduated from Lake Belton. Go Broncos. Yeah. So the first question was, what is a passage of scripture that's been meaningful and helpful to you? And I would say John 16:33, and that reads, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So I find two major takeaways from this verse. And the first thing is that God calls us to peace rather than panic and anxiety and fear. So Jesus tells us that we find this peace by abiding in him. And he kind of talks about, like, at the beginning of the verse, like, "I've said these things to you." The things that he just said are like the "I'm the vine," like the "abide in me," "the world's gonna hate you," like, "you need me." So basically we have to put our identity in him. Oh my gosh, what is my phone doing? Anyways, we have to put our identity in him and not the other things in this world. So in high school, like, all of us are trying to find our own thing. We're trying to find where we fit into the world. And it's really easy to make that thing that you're trying to fit into your identity. Like for me, that was school. I was super involved in academics. But when I let that take over my identity, I was miserable. And, sorry. So if we go back to the verse, it says, in me you may have peace, so in Jesus you may have peace. And that's not in academics you may have peace, or in sports you may have peace, or in Taylor Swift you may have peace. It's none of those things. It's definitely not those things. All of those things are going to lead you to being miserable if that's what you're putting your identity in. You're only going to find true contentment if you're putting your faith, your whole identity in Jesus. So the second major takeaway from that verse is when it says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So God is telling us, like, he has defeated all of the bad things in the world. Like, this triumph that he has on the cross, like, lasts forever. So in this world, there are going to be things that try and take you away from God and his peace. Like, I've experienced it. And when I draw away from God, like, that is when I experienced the most anxiety. I would have panic attacks. I was crying, like, every day. It was awful. So it really took over my mind and my time, my whole life. But really what I needed to be doing in those times was turning to God. So I was trying to do it all myself, and I thought I was really strong for doing it all myself. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so good for pushing myself through all this. But really, I wasn't strong. I was just broken. I was hurting. So the second question was, what is something you wish someone had told you when you entered high school? And I would say, you will never be okay if you can't find rest in God. So to all of you guys in here, especially you guys who are just about to enter high school, I'm telling you right now, you will never be okay if you can't find rest in God. This past year, like my senior year, I feel like I've been a lot more intentional about trying to make an effort to pursue my relationship with God. And it's not like I'm perfect. Like, I didn't have perfect attendance at church every Sunday and Wednesday, but I made an effort, and that was really the difference. Because when you let God, like, go to the back burner and he's just there in your life, like, I was still Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. But when you're not intentional about it, like, it's really, really devastating to your life. So the biggest things that brought me closer to God were, one, reading my Bible outside of church. You actually have to read it. It's so helpful. Two, making time in my schedule to go to youth on Wednesdays. I never did that before my senior year. And I really, really, really wish I had done it sooner, because it was so helpful for me. And then the third one is trying to keep the perspective that most of the high school things just stay in high school. Like, it doesn't last forever. And there are some things that will matter, like going into the rest of your life or your future, but even those things really only matter for this life. And this life is so short compared to the eternity that we have with God. So you really need to prioritize that relationship with God, because that is what matters forever. So yeah, I was talking about earlier how there was that time when I was super anxious all the time, cried every day, panic attacks, all that stuff. That was my junior year, and guess what I wasn't doing my junior year? I wasn't reading the Bible. I never made time to come to church on Wednesday nights, and I had this awful perspective. I thought that the things that I was involved in, and like my academics, they mattered so much that I was letting my relationship with God completely go to the back burner. So I was miserable. Don't do that. When I have friends that ask me what changed between my junior and senior year, because a lot has changed, and trust me, I still cry and I'm still anxious, but it's so much better because I found peace in God instead of trying to find my identity in academics. So again, that was read the Bible. It's so helpful. It's so helpful to have those words from God in your mind and through your life. Like, it really anchors your faith. I didn't realize how helpful actually spending time in the Word would be until I did, and it actually changes everything. Please, please, please read the Bible. And then I said, coming to church on Wednesday. So having that community is so nice. Just like ground yourself, surround yourself with people who are also in the faith, will give you good advice, because some advice from high schoolers is interesting. And then keeping that perspective between the work that you're doing right now and your relationship with God that matters forever. And then I would say, if you want to read more about that balance, Ecclesiastes 9 has a lot of really, really good stuff about how, like, what we have right now is all going to go away. Like, the things on this earth are so temporary compared to our relationship with God forever. And you should not be putting your identity in those things, because it's just all going to go away. Like, you will only find rest and peace if you abide in God. So, yeah. Just don't let your faith go to the back burner. It's miserable. You're not going to be happy if you don't have God. So, yeah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mia. I graduated from Texas Connections Academy in Houston, except for I did it on virtual. I've been thinking all week of what to say, because there's a lot of encouragement in the Bible. But I think something that stuck out to me while I'm in high school is Colossians 3:17 and 23-24. It says, "Everything you say and everything you do should be all done for Jesus, your Lord. And all you do, give thanks to God and Father through Jesus. So everywhere you go, it is to represent the kingdom, not yourself." Just like day one story and impact, it's about how great God is, not how great you are. Because we were made to give God's glory. Colossians 23:24 says, "In all the work that you are doing, work the best that you can. Work as if you're working for the Lord, not for men. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord, which is promised to his people. You are serving the Lord Christ. So never, ever forget that you are serving God." And also, I wanted to read Galatians 6:9. Hold on. Okay. Galatians 6:9 says, "We must not become tired of what we're of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time. So we must not give up." So however you're feeling right now, like in the spot, I know it's summertime, but once you get into high school, like I know it doesn't get better, but according to the scripture, it will. If that makes sense. Okay. Sorry, guys. But and also don't get comfortable of where you are, because I have learned last year saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I can be great where I am, right?" I figured out that I was wrong. I was really, really wrong. There's much more I do not know. So every time you dive really deep into your Bible, you'll find something new. You will learn something new every single day. So, and something else that I wish someone told me, which is they did tell me, I just didn't listen, which is helping others. And this is a deep topic. Let's see. Galatians 6:2 says, "Help each other with your troubles. When you do this, you truly obey the law of Christ," because Jesus commanded it in the New Testament, saying that we should help one another. You know, the story of the little Samaritan. And why did I say little? The Samaritan. And because God didn't want man to be alone. He said it right in the beginning of Genesis. So, for example, on that, there was this boy, and when I was in ninth grade, he was a Christian just like me, but this was the year of COVID. I came back. It was public school. It sucked and everything. It was my freshman year. It was my last day of going to school, and this boy wanted to do suicide on the same night. I didn't know what to do or what to say, so I stayed with him as long as I could, because my coach was calling me so I can go to my last basketball game. I don't know. I pray to God that he's still alive. I don't know. That's the last time I ever seen him. But I just told him that he is loved. And from Christian to Christian, you know that you are made in his image, and it doesn't matter what other people's opinion is about you, because they are not God. They're not the ultimate supreme judge. They don't know anything. And what you go through. And whatever you go through, or whatever you plan to be later on in life, that God is good all the time, and doesn't matter what other people say. And you fight the good fight, and God's got you all the way through. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for sharing today. It's always really cool to hear their stories and to hear the testimonies that they would share with you guys. But one of the coolest testimonies is the fact that they're still here. That's a big testimony. There's seniors sitting out there in the crowd, too, that just graduated. And the fact that they're still here and after 4 years. And listen, for our new freshmen, I mean, here's the reality. High school's difficult in so many ways, as you already know. But you make it through, like the guys up here on the stage, like some of the ones out there in the crowd. You're going to have some battle scars, but God can get you through that. And we encourage you to stay, be part of community while you're here. You're going to encounter a lot of things tugging at you, pulling at you, trying to pull you away from the body of Christ. And like you've heard up here on the stage, you've got to make sure you stay committed and stick through. And listen, this is not the finish line. This is kind of the starting line for these guys. I mean, they're going to take those habits, hopefully, and go into churches when they're their next phase of life is going to be, whether it's college or something else. And they will need that same commitment in those places as well. So let's give these guys a hand once again. And before I pray, just a heads up. So for the summertime, we are going to be looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to be doing the teacher's going to be Ben Stewart, and be watching an 8-week series. So we're going to do that for the summertime. We're going to be giving our teaching people, myself and others, a little bit of a break for the summer until we get into the fall stuff in the fall and next spring. But we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians with a great teacher named Ben Stewart. And having discussion each Sunday with our groups. And so we'll start that next Sunday. And I'll go ahead and pray for us, and you guys can be dismissed. Let's pray. God, thanks for allowing us to be here. Thank you for these seniors, the ones that are on the stage, also the ones that are out here in the crowd that we know. They have so much they could share with these students. We praise for those who got to share this morning, and also for just that they have stayed with it these last 4 years and been committed. So many of them are doing impact, another testimony of their faithfulness and perseverance. And we know for many of them it's not been easy to do that. It's not been easy to stay committed at all. And we praise you for how you brought them through and the fact that they wanted to pour into this younger generation, these younger classes, one last time through impact is an amazing testimony in and of itself. And we pray for them as they at the end of the summer, go on to whatever's next for them. We pray that you would bless them and keep them. We pray that they would find places they can plug in and be part of community as well. We thank you also for these new freshmen that have come and joined us today. We pray that they would just soak up every moment of their time in the body of Christ while they're in high school and not take any of it for granted and be committed to you, but also committed to community as well. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for being here. You're dismissed. And we will see you guys, impact people, tomorrow at 7:45.